And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison, and yes, we're always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be joining you today. Today's show is going to be from a little bit of a different angle. We're going to talk about passive investing in multifamily apartment communities, but primarily what I want to get into is the considerations that someone needs to understand before becoming a passive investor. Becoming a passive investor is a big decision. And if you don't know what a passive investor is, basically there is a property that a lead investor has identified. It's a business opportunity, a multifamily community, and he needs to raise money anywhere from $1 million. And I've seen raises well over $20 million. And so he goes to his passive investor list. It's a pool of folks just like myself. And he sends out the business plan and he says, hey, here's a property. Here's where I've identified the opportunity. Would you like to invest in this? And so I'm a passive investor and I invest in multifamily properties like that. So that's what a passive investor is. That's the 40,000 foot flyover. But passive investing is just one of four paths to real estate investing that we teach here at Lifestyles Unlimited. And those four paths are single family properties, multifamily passive, as I've mentioned, multifamily independent rental owner, and that's where you can go purchase your own multifamily apartment community yourself. You don't have any other owners in on the deal with you, and you can be a multifamily lead investor, as I mentioned. But today's show is going to be just passive investing, and I get many, many emails from real estate investors all over the United States, and one of the primary focuses, one of the primary topics I get is, Mike, should I become a passive investor? Or, Mike, I want to begin investing in real estate, but we want to start out as passive investors, or some sort of variation of that question. And sometimes the email comes with additional background, sometimes not so much. But I want to say, as we get into this topic, passive investing is great. I love it. But it may not be the correct path for somebody just right out of the gate wanting to invest in real estate. There's some certain considerations you should understand. So I said all that to bring my good friend John Pry on the show and help me unpeel this topic. John, how are you doing today?
Everything's good, Mike. How about you?
Oh, wonderful. Happy Monday. Looking forward to big game next weekend. So I love this time of year as a good Aggie. So exciting time. But John, why don't you share a little bit of background about yourself as a real estate investor?
Yeah, 30-year petroleum engineer out of Texas A&M, Mike, and joined back in 2014 as a preferred investor. Why did I join as a preferred investor and become a passive investor? Very simple. I was making gobs of money as a petroleum engineer, and I didn't have any extra time. I worked my tail off, just like most people do. Yeah. And had no extra time to do that. So that's why I became passive.
Yeah, passive's great if you've got a lot of money and not a lot of time. So maybe that's the first point that we clarify. And as I go through this show, I need to say this. John and I are not real estate mentors. We're just two friends, fellow Texas Aggies, and multifamily passive investors. So if you're listening to me, before you make any decisions, I always tell someone they should consult their real estate mentor first. So, John, for clarification, how many investments have you participated in as a passive investor?
Mike, I've been in 50-some-odd investments passively through time. It's probably about 35 or so currently. Several of them have gone full cycle.
Excellent. Well, that's prolific, right, to say the least. You've done quite a few, and I'm going to catch up to you one of these days, I promise. So that's my goal. All right. Well, John, really the subject of the show today, I met two brand new members at the Lifestyles Unlimited, the Wealth and Passive Income Expo. They have not attended our Financial Freedom Seminar yet, the 16-hour class that we teach. And they basically we met for coffee just the other day, and during that conversation, they came up to me and they said, Mike, we have $75,000 to invest and want to start passive investing. What do you say to a question like that, John?
Yeah, I would say, look, you're going to hear all sorts of numbers from different people about suggested amounts of money to become a passive. My numbers are a little higher than that, Mike, because you got to cover the cost of the membership, which is outstanding.
Yep.
And you want to have enough money to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly to that. And really, I mean, I think they're so excited and here's what I want to do. And there's six big things that these folks need to understand and do first, I think, before even getting to dollar one. And, you know, one, obviously I mentioned it's the 16-hour seminar that we teach here at Lifestyles Unlimited. John, share your experience with that 16-hour seminar that we teach.
It's always fun. I always try to go back two or three or maybe four times a year just because it's entertaining, it's interesting. And real estate markets are always changing, and we need to stay up on what those market changes are. There's no such thing as too much education. There's no such thing as too much networking with your counterparts either, Mike. Both are very, very important.
Yeah, the Financial Freedom Seminar, every time I go back, I learn something new, or I remind myself of a certain strategy that I need to pay attention to or something along those lines. But the first time I did it, I was just blown away. John, let's get to the second one. Let's talk about real estate mentors. Why is that important?
It's absolutely important to have someone that you can talk to that's been there, done that, is doing it currently, and is really good at it. That's what a mentor is. They share their knowledge with you. And as a passive mentor, as a passive investor, we have Madeline, she's been in twice as many deals as I have or more, tremendously well experienced. She dedicates essentially all of her time to mentoring passive investors like you and I, and people especially just starting in the business.
It goes down to take advice from somebody who's doing what you want to do and is a subject matter expert, so to speak, on it. The next thing I had on my list was case studies that we hold monthly. And for the new listeners out there, case study is we'll meet once a month out of our various offices. And it's people like you and me, and we just get up and we go through maybe a recent property that we purchased, a deal that they're engaged in. John, do you remember your first case study?
I don't, Mike. That was a long time ago.
I don't either.
Case study is always a fun thing. This whole thing comes down to two things. It comes down to education, which Lifestyle certainly helps us with, and networking, getting to know your fellow investors, and that's how you decide who you may or may not be interested in investing with. You need to hit it off with them on a personal basis, and we learn from each other. Lifestyles is very unique in that we really don't compete with each other as much as we do help, encourage, and teach each other, Mike.
Yeah, we open the books. We share the math. Here's what I spent on this property. Here's how much I spent in rehab. Here's the team that I put together that helped me rehab the property. I don't remember my first one, but I remember those early ones going to it and then bringing my wife to some of them, John. And we both left with the, well, I could do that. That didn't sound very complicated. It's because it's people just like us explaining their story. And so I was always encouraged by going to those case studies. John, here's a big one. The passive investor certification. What was that like, that process for you?
Huge. You know, it did not come along for me until I'd been a member several years, and certainly the same thing for you. So we already had a lot of skills and a lot of success with it. But even though we had that experience and success already, the certification brought back a lot of things that I had forgotten about or really needed to be more in the forefront of my thinking. It is a fantastic tool, and many lead investors are now strongly preferring that their passive investors have that certification. That certification, the education that comes with it, makes you feel confident about the decisions you're making.
100%. The education in that certification, I think it's 20, 24 hours of basically classes that you got to take. And the education is, you won't get this anywhere else on the planet. But I tell you what was frustrating for me, John, my wife and I are sitting down and She has to do hers and I have to do mine. It's required to be a passive investor. But you'd have this 15-question test at the end, and in typical Del Walmsley fashion, an A for him is not good enough, right? If you get 90% of it, you would think that you passed. And, well, you haven't been to the Del Walmsley School of Real Estate Education. He insists that you have to get every question right. And so you take the test, and you'd find out you missed one. You're like, oh, my gosh. And so then you have to take the test again. So it's grueling, but it's all good. I'm saying that with a smile on my face.
Absolutely. There's just no substitute for education. That is focused education that goes from class to class to class to class. And like you say, you've got to get all the answers right on the quizzes or do it again. And it's a credential. It says, I've got sufficient education that I understand passive investing and these syndications. Crucial.
Yep. Now, I don't want anyone out there thinking that what you and I just went through is a year-long process. I mean, if you set your mind to it and you really want to be a passive investor, you can do all this in a month, in 90 days. Again, that's the Financial Freedom Seminar. That's 16 hours. I want you to meet with a mentor. I want you to sit down with somebody that's doing what you want to do. Attend a case study or several case studies, preferably. Go on a road trip. We hold those twice a month, again, out of all of our offices. Passive investor certification. If you sit down, you can do it in a weekend. John, there's one I forgot. Tell me about strategy, right? I want someone to have a strategy before they go into passive investing.
Yeah, that's true. And your strategy may change as you become more experienced. It may not. Mine never really changed. But you need to have some idea of what your capabilities might be, and a pretty good idea about what your time availability might be. Passive investing doesn't take a lot of time, but you do have to study the documents and use your education to help you understand those documents that are associated with it. It's just like any investment that you make. It's for your family's future, and you want it to be a good decision.
100% agreed, John. And we'll pick it up on the other side. I want to talk more about considerations prior to becoming a passive investor in multifamily properties.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison. If you miss any parts of the show, you can always find us on our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. You can go to YouTube, pull up the Lifestyles Unlimited channel there. There's dozens, if not hundreds, of shows there. I've got my friend John Pry on here. John Pry is real estate retired. I guess we'll call it a super passive investor. That term's being thrown out around there, but he's a very engaged Lifestyles Unlimited member, and I often go to John when we talk about things like passive investing because John's got a lot more experience than I do. But remember, passive investing is only one of the four methods we teach here at Lifestyles Unlimited. We have single-family rental properties. We've got passive investing. You can own your own apartment community. That's called an independent rental owner. And you can be a syndicator. We call that a lead investor and go out and put together a syndication, right, an ownership group and buy large properties. So, John, we had hit. I had met some brand-new Lifestyles Unlimited members, very excited. I love their enthusiasm. They're ready to go, right? Like type A, let's go. We met for coffee the other day and they said, we want to be passive investors and we have $75,000 to invest. And that's such a generalized statement. John, do you recommend a minimum amount prior to becoming a passive investor?
Yeah, I've never really settled on a specific amount, Mike, but I think you need to have enough to where you can and make several initial investments. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Spread them around a little bit initially. Just learn from them. See how they progress. Learn about the lead-passive relationship. You know, we have very little to no input on the decision-making for the property. We're counting on the lead to make good decisions. It needs to be more than $75,000, I think, so you can spread it around some.
I agree 100%. Depends on what their goals are. I think their goals are to bring in some income, right? Some monthly cash flow. And my understanding, I always look at it, I call $100,000 $5,000 a year, right? 5% is your cash return, right? Your quarterly distribution. Maybe it's 4%, maybe it's 8%. But if mentally I go with the mindset at 5, I'm happy. So 75, that's, what is that, about $4,000, $3,500 to $4,000 a year in cash flow. So I don't even think these folks understood that side of it. John, let's talk about considerations. Well, I guess back to my number. I think if you have $150,000 to $200,000, if you wanted to go passive, you could. That gives you, you know, split it up, 3-4 different opportunities. But if your goal is to build wealth, you should probably go into houses and double that, right? If you started with 150, come back in 3 years with 300,000. Come back 3 years after that with 600,000. And then you have that bigger cash flow snowball, right? John, does that make sense on your side?
It absolutely does, Mike. And I've told people several in the same set of circumstances that same exact thing. You know, it's not difficult to come up with 100% capital gains, captured equity, when you buy these houses. And that's a great way of multiplying your capital before you get into some passive investments.
Yeah, passive investing gets so much sweeter when you have, say, 5 to 10 deals that are in play and growing, because it opens up some real advantages. And these are advantages that I wasn't 100% aware of. And John, I think you know where I'm going here, but let's talk about the magic of carryover losses and how passive gains are offset by passive income losses. John, why don't you jump into that one?
You know, the only way to start on that is, as David Fisher says, it's pee in your pants exciting.
Yes.
Mike, this is incredible with, as you mentioned, the tax loss carry forwards and depreciation, accelerated depreciation. I've been retired for about 8 years now, and in only one of those years have I had to pay any income tax. My CPA follows the tax law. There's, you know, a very, very black and white on how this all works. And fortunately, I have a really good CPA that understands all of it, and he takes care of my taxes for me. It's tremendous. I did not believe it until the first year it happened to me, that I paid no income tax with an incredible income that year.
Yes, and you've got to build up a portfolio. So let me see if I can spell out this how this would look. Let's say you have 10 multifamily passive investments, which means at the end of each year, that lead investor is going to provide you with the IRS calls a K-1. And the K-1 may say, we paid John Pry $5,000 in dividends this year, distributions, but we wrote off $35,000 against the business. So you're telling the IRS, hey, I made five, but I lost 35. And the IRS says, well, you can use those losses toward other events. And let's say that same year, you also had one or two properties sell. First world problem, you now have a $200,000 gain, but what happens with that is then Uncle Sam wants their capital tax or their capital gains portion.
The first year I had a whole bunch of sales. I sent an estimated tax payment to the IRS during the year.
Yeah.
And then I sat down with my CPA and he was flipping through my K-1s and he said, how much did you tell me you sent them? Kept on flipping through and finally got to the end. He said, look, I don't think you're going to have to pay any income tax this year. Before you ever send them any money again, you talk to me first.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I didn't believe it until I saw it myself.
It's 100% there in the tax law that basically passive income gains can be offset by passive income losses.
Financial freedom is such a liberating thing. It gives you a sense of peace and security and makes everything better.
Yeah, and I've still got some goals that I want to hit. And to add to that, things aren't getting any cheaper, at least not in the last couple of years. So, yeah, we've got to continue to grow this snowball. I guess if I ever reach to where you have, quote, unquote, enough, I'd be happy to share whatever that number is. But I can tell you that I'm not there. And a lot of other folks are, we're just engaged. Yeah, I do it as much for the fun and meeting new people as I am for, yes, building that stream of depreciation, to growing the cash flow and trying to add to that, but also to build a legacy for my kids. So yeah, lifelong commitment, at least on my end. And I know you're in it for the long haul, huh, John?
Absolutely right. And even beyond that, I paid for two of our kids' membership to Lifestyles because I believe in this group so much, and they have their own passive investments as well.
Yes, excellent. Okay, there you go. Carrying on the tradition right there. I like it. So, John, there's a term out there called active passive. What's your viewpoint of active passive?
I think every passive ought to be active. I mean, to me, it just means showing up as much as you can. 50% of life is just showing up, right? Go to case studies. Go to the two-day every once in a while. Go to road trips. You meet people and you learn about real estate investing and you get better and better at it. I shudder thinking about how much money I invested early on when I wasn't as well educated as I am now. It all worked out great and I retired early. It all worked fine. But I wish I had known 10 years ago what I know now. Mike, it would have been all that much easier.
100%. Yeah, that's the biggest regret of any real estate investor. You ask somebody, hey, what would you have done different? And they always say, well, I would have started earlier, right? That's the standard answer, and they're correct. I would also share this. I started passive investing in 2018. I'd sold some houses and had some powder in my pocket. And I think I went too fast, to tell you the truth. I was just, here's money for this deal. Here's money for that deal. Here's money for that deal. And if I had a do-over there, I probably would have stepped back and took it a little slower on my investing on that side. How has your perspective changed from your first or second or third investment to, say, your 10th or your 20th for you?
Yeah, I've gotten a little bit more current income oriented because I am retired. Early on, I was making gobs of money, never thought that I'd be able to retire on real estate. 2.5 years later, it happened. Back in that early time, I could not have cared less about current income. I all wanted it to be future income. Now it's more of a mixture.
Another big question that I get from new folks, and they're wanting to be a passive investor, I explain to them you need a personal relationship with lead investors. And a lot of folks don't understand why. Comments on that?
That's absolutely a priority. I place more emphasis on the lead investor than I do on the deal. Now, if the deal's not the style that I'm interested in, I'm not going to invest with them anyway. But I put it this way. I've heard other people put it this way. A good jockey is very unlikely to pick a bad deal. And a good jockey is able to handle the market changes as they happen far better than someone with less intuition about how this all works. Got to be educated.
Yes, it is. It's the quarterback, right? It's the most important position on the team, for sure. Mm-hmm. So you want to have a personal relationship. One question: one is, does this individual have the skill set to basically bring this business plan home, right? They've written the business plan. Can they do it? Do they have the skills to do it? I'm not saying they've had to have done it before as a real estate investor. I just want to know what their skills were, right? If they're project managers for an oil and gas company and they're running $800 million projects, I don't think a $4 million apartment community is going to kill them. And I also want to see, I do look a little bit at the deal. If it's a new lead, I don't want them biting off too much to chew, right? Getting a property that's, you know, maybe a little bit bigger than they should be. But again, I'll come back to that lead investor, right? You know, what's your skills? You know, what's going to make this work? Oh, and John, I guess the other reason is it's required by the SEC to have a personal relationship. Explain what a private placement memorandum is.
Yeah, key word there is, as you know, is private. It can't be shared amongst anybody. It is in a closed circle of people that have this common ability and common personal connection, as you say. That is a requirement, as you said, Mike, from the SEC, in order not to have to go through a very long and expensive registration process to allow these syndications to happen. They're private. It's up to you. Nobody's going to take better care of your money than you do. So become educated. Talk with your fellow investors, your fellow passives. We talk like a bunch of old widow women about lead investors. Talk with experienced passives like you or I. And, hey, who do you like? We help each other. We help each other. The hallmark of lifestyle.
Yeah, these are private placements. So a lead investor is not, you know, going out and getting a billboard on I-45 and saying, hey, invest with me. I mean, that's a completely different, you know, you can hear advertisements on the radio today for people saying, if you want to invest in this company, send it here. But the way we're filing to keep it legal with the SEC, if you have a personal relationship with somebody, then you can engage in an investment with that person. So that's one of the main reasons to have a personal relationship. But above that, you want that personal relationship. So again, does this person have the skill set to do what they say they're going to do? John, let's talk about what makes a successful passive multifamily investor.
A lot of it is just showing up, like we said, Mike. You know, you gain education by being there. You gain education on your own, going through the passive investor certification like you talked about. You can't know too much about all of this. You can't know too much about it. And I like to sleep well at night. I have to be very confident in my investments in order to sleep well at night. That's what I like to do.
Yeah, we don't like the ones where we're not sleeping so well, you know, for whatever reason. And I'm not a perfect investor myself by any means. There's a few I'd like to have back. I've only lost money one time, knock on wood here. But there are, yeah, a successful multifamily investor on my end is, one, stay up on the education, right? Get your certification. Two, meet with a mentor occasionally. Three, get that strategy. Like, what do you want to accomplish? I think a lot of folks just say, I want to be passive. Well, are you trying to grow your net worth? Or are you trying to looking for a yield play, a value play? And they don't even understand the difference. John, we got a few seconds. Do you have a preference over yield or value? And explain what those are real quick.
I like to have an element of both, Mike. The yield, of course, is current rate of return based on current conditions, and value comes in after work is done, the property's made better, rents go up, everything is managed properly then. That's the value side of it. It takes longer, but the numbers can be really staggering.
Yeah, value play, you're not going to get paid distribution maybe for the first year, maybe the first 2 years, possibly longer, depending on what a heavy lift they're going to do. But at the end, you're going to make a larger chunk, typically well over 100% return, whereas the yield is just kind of that steady eddy cash flow coming in quarterly. So I like a mixture of both, John. Really, I've never had a preference for one versus the other. Again, if I like the lead, that's the person I'm chasing, right? I know this person has the skills, and if they like a deal and it makes sense to me, then I'm going to jump in. How many different states are you invested in, John?
Four or five, Mike. I'd have to stop and count them up, to tell you the truth.
I just got in my fifth one, trying to push a little bit of money out of Texas just to diversify within real estate is my thought there. But just, yeah, I just had the opportunity to enter into my fifth one, and it's a good feeling. So, John, why don't you share with us why we do this?
Mike, as you know, it's not for the money. We do it for a fantastic lifestyle.
Excellent. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.